Good afternoon and welcome to the Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM, the show to encourage, support and help people improve both their working and personal lives through continuous learning. I'm Laura Fitzsimons and I'm a training and presenting coach. Today I'll be talking with an old friend of mine who is on a visit from the States to his hometown, Dublin City. And when I say old friend, I don't mean that he's old, he's just been friends a long time. I would love to introduce and welcome to Stephen to the show this afternoon. Stephen Dempsey, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. Something that I wasn't expecting on this short visit to Dublin, so I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm delighted. Thank you so much for obliging me and coming along. Well, I think I better put it out there how we know each other. We used to sing, I sang in a band and you played keyboards in a band many, many, many years ago. The band was called A New Dawn.
Right.
And that's how we met. So after that, I suppose you moved to the States. You're living longer in the States now than you've lived than you ever lived here in Ireland.
Yeah, I don't even know how many years it was since we played together, but it's been like very, very many years. But I moved to the States in 1987. And actually, the reason why I moved to the States was I was in another rock band at that time. Mm-hmm. And we were originally going to go to London. But let's just say that the person in the band who wanted to go to London, we didn't care for very much. So we decided to go to New York.
Okay.
So, yeah, my dad wasn't real happy about me doing that. He always wanted to know what my backup plan was and my real job. But I've never really had a real job for any length of time. I've always pursued dreams, and music was a dream that I wanted to pursue. And there wasn't a lot going on in Dublin in 1987. It was another recession we were going through. And we figured that New York was as good a place as any to see if we could make it. I mean, it was, you know, the ultimate city to go to, great place for all kinds of music. So myself and guitarist, my good friend Kieran, and my then bass player Jean-Marc, he's from France, we all headed over to New York and try to make it. And so long story short, it did not work out, but the experience was priceless. Yeah. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
And so one thing kind of led to another. It's my initial interest, obviously, was as a musician. And I've always had an interest in the visual arts. I've loved painting, loved photography. Right after my last experience in a band, I took up painting for a while. And then as technology became available and was developing at that back in the 90s, I got interested in building websites and graphic design and kind of self-taught and did all that. And that kind of inevitably led to my interest in the moving image, which was videography, and then finally to photography, which is what my main concentration is right now.
Yeah, and I have to say, I can't even explain how amazing some of your photographs are that you put up on Facebook.
Thank
it's
you.
Great because I'm able to see them and I'm able to stay in contact with you as well. Yeah. If you were giving somebody tips on videography, what would they be?
You know, that's when you've been doing it for so long, it's kind of hard to think back, with all the mistakes that you made or the things that you learned. I think that just like the same advice I would give to anyone who is learning photography, I would encourage them to do it as much as they can.
Practice.
Yeah, the way that I became good at what I was doing is simply a lot of practice. Every day I would do something. I would set goals for myself. I think it's important to learn some of the technical aspect of the art. It can't be all it's about. But I think that the more you know about what you're doing, the more it enables you to do with that thing. So if it's videography, if you have some technical knowledge, you can do more than just kind of hoping everything goes well with the auto button on. So, my main advice would be, first of all, do it as much as possible. And then beyond that, learn about your craft. Try to get off auto as quickly as possible so that you're in control and not the camera.
Okay, and that I'm not techie at all. I've owned up so many times.
So auto means automatic. So
okay, no, I know that part. You right. can switch off the automatic, and you can actually customize.
Yeah, you can go. You don't have to go to full manual mode where you're. You know, it's not even necessary to get into all the technical things, but just that you can make some decisions.
Okay,
like if you see a sunset and you're shooting a sunset, and you look at what you've captured, and it's all white. And you're looking at the reality is that it's all these beautiful colors.
Yeah,
it's nice to know why that's happening.
Okay.
So you can instantly make an adjustment and say, oh, there you go. And then you capture what it is you really wanted to capture.
Okay. So you sent me on some great questions to ask you. And one of them was, how is photography different to videography in your the approach?
Well, photography is trying to hone the essence of something that you're looking at down to a single frame. It's much more difficult in many ways. With video, I can shoot a sequence of, you know, birds flying or people talking or interacting in some way. And it's kind of easy to tell a story with a moving image because you have some time for that to unfold to the viewer. With a photograph, you are literally trying to tell a complete story in a moment in time. And so you have to be extremely selective about everything that you include in the frame because it has to contribute to that story. So for a good photograph to work, you have to have a very good knowledge of composition, and everything really has to be that you have to know what your subject is.
Yeah.
It can't be scattered all over the place. So that really would be the primary difference. I think it's a more difficult thing to do, but I think, you know, once you again do it many times and you look at other work, my biggest influence was literally going to the museums and looking at paintings by the old masters and seeing you know, studying that composition and then trying to implement some of that knowledge into my everyday photography. So that's, you know, you can pull influences from all over. It doesn't have to be inside the art of photography or videography. You can find inspiration everywhere.
Yeah, which is interesting because I've looked at many of your photographs over the years, and I'm thinking, in my mind, how you obviously can't create scenes for say, you're taking photographs of mountains and lakes, and I know you've taken a lot with farmhouses. This is my ignorance. Buildings in the background and landscapes. That's the word.
Barns.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Right. But you can't actually set the scene. Like you can't put a blade of grass over this way, and you can't move a tree over that. How do you actually manage to get them all within the right shot? That's fascinating.
I usually wear out a lot of shoes. You do really, you absolutely have to walk around. You have to look at a scene and try and say, okay, well, I would prefer if the barn was over on the left. Well, the only way of making that work is for you to move.
Oh, okay.
And kind of let everything fall into place that way. You can't shift things in nature. They're fixed.
Yeah, I don't.
So yeah, that's the, you know, staying in one place and taking a quick shot is only going to ever get you mediocre shots. I mean, you will eventually get a really good shot, but it won't be consistent. So you really have to walk around and figure out where best those things need to fall inside your composition.
So how long then, if that's the case, and you say, okay, the barn should be on the left versus the right, how long would it actually take you to get the right shot? So if you're taking all that time to walk around, look at the different positions, how long would it actually take? How long would you be working on taking the one photograph?
Sometimes I will drive by a scene and not take a photograph at all on that day, and I'll think about it and then I'll come back. I may even take a couple of, you know, shots with my iPhone or whatever just to get an idea as to what the potential of the scene would be. And then when I came back, I would pretty much know what I wanted to do and then find out if it was possible. The more you do this, it all comes back down to the experience of doing this many times.
Yeah.
You kind of know what to expect. You know what you're going to need to do to do something. And your style, it kind of evolves from that anyway. I mean, you tend to you know, you have a look, you have a feel as a photographer that people will know, oh, that's by Stephen Dempsey or that's by Bob or whatever, just because, you know, I think a style is very important to unify your work. Otherwise, you know, you would never be able to identify somebody's work.
That's a good point, because I have to look at it. I think about there was a great picture. I think I showed it to you many years ago that I picked up in the States over near Yellowstone Park, actually, by Fred Joy. It was a very good friend of mine that bought it for me. But he was a very distinctive photographer, just like you knew it was him. I didn't have to see his name signed on this and the end of the photograph to know that was him.
Right.
It was a very distinctive style, and I suppose that's what you're talking about. You can't have many different styles because there's nothing unique about you then. You're trying to be everything to everybody.
That's what separates you from others, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. So you have been taking some amazing photographs over the last couple of months, but I'd like you maybe just to delve into that before to the break. Just tell me what you're done, maybe in the next minute or two, and then we'll wrap up for break.
Okay, well, I'm in a unique position where I have basically sold my house, and my wife and I have gone on the road in the US in a motorhome. And that enables me to go to very many places and see many exotic sites that I otherwise would not have seen. So it's a very, very interesting life that we've taken on.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me that after the break. But first of all, Stephen, can you give out your website address then so people can actually look at some of the fantastic photography that you have taken?
Yes, of course. It's Stephen Dempsey, S-T-E-V-E-N, Dempsey, D-E-M-P-S-E-Y, photography.com.
Okay, great. Well, what I'll do is I'll give out the contact details for the show. The email address is thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie. Facebook / The Learning Show, that's all lowercase. And the Twitter handle is @TheLearningShow, and that's a capital T, L and S. So what we'll do is we'll take a song break now, and it's actually a slow song, which normally I like the fast upbeat ones, but I love the singer. She's an amazing voice, and being a female singer myself, but this girl's amazing. It's Paloma Faith, and she's singing Only Love Can Hurt Like This. Welcome back to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. That was the amazing Paloma Faith singing Only Love Can Hurt Like This. I'm here with Stephen Dempsey, a very good friend of mine. I won't say old because we're aging. I'm definitely aging us by saying that all the time. A very good friend of mine from many years ago. And just before we went to break, went to the song break, Stephen was talking about that the fact himself and his wife sold their house and they're now living on the road. So maybe talk a little bit more about that and what life is like on the road as a photographer.
Sure. Living on the road in the US, it probably has a very different connotation than it would have here. The country itself is vast, so it really lends itself to traveling. And basically, I think the US is so big that you could go around it twice or three times and still not even see part of it. So, as a landscape photographer, which is really what my primary concentration is, it's just a dream come true. I think that, the things that I'd seen in magazines and books for many years were simply that. I just never really thought that I would get a chance to see a lot of them. And so for our initial journey, we started doing this in July, and really August is when we start moving. We went from Washington State down to Texas, where we are right now. And in the meantime, we hit Washington, Oregon, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And there were some absolutely breathtaking places that we went to. I'd say probably the highlight of that first few months was seeing the Grand Canyon. And, I had actually talked to some people that said that they were underwhelmed by it.
Oh,
and
really?
I was beginning to get a little nervous that maybe it wasn't everything I was cracked up to be.
Yeah.
And actually, when I arrived at the visitor center, I was there by myself that day, the first day we arrived in the area. I could feel my heart pounding before I got to the viewing area, just because in anticipation.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to a job interview.
Much better than a job
interview. Yeah, it was. And I have to say that when it just appeared, it's hard to describe it in words. And it's actually one of the challenges that I have as a landscape photographer. It's actually, how do you translate that huge vastness into a two-dimensional, for the most part, something that's seen on a computer screen these days, even more than a print. And so, there are certain tricks that you employ to make that happen. You can, you put familiar things in of scale so that you can get a sense. Like, for instance, that first day I was there, there were hundreds of people on one of the viewing platforms. And then behind them was the vastness of the Grand Canyon. And so I took that photograph where the people appeared tiny.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, then you just saw how huge this place was. Now, without them, you wouldn't really know whether these were
There's
just rocks
to compare.
Or. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's something that I try to do a lot. But I mean, mostly what I'm looking for is the play of light on things. And my concentration really as a landscape photographer is in the medium of black and white. And that tends to kind of pare everything down to its bare essence. And it kind of takes away the distraction of color. And to me, it has an emotional component that I don't see in color photography. The fact that it's so different from the things that we actually see in our real lives can sometimes actually engage the viewer a little bit more, because when you're just taking a literal photograph, some people may have seen the scene already and they already have preconceived notions of what those things are, and they bring their own kind of experience to that
and
might take away from the photograph. So I kind of liken black and white to painting, to old, like the old style painting, because really it is an interpretation of reality. It's an expression of reality. We don't see in black and white. So I'm looking for things like layers, you know, when the sun is rising, layers of mountains really show up well in black and white, and things that have high contrast. And they kind of add a sense of art almost to some of the photographs that I take. I'm not even saying that they are art, but to me
they're amazing.
Thank you.
They really are amazing.
Yeah. So that's an additional kind of an interesting way of looking at things. It helps me to look at the world very differently. I see a lot of things in black and white, which kind of is just, like I say, you know, whittling it down to its bare essence of form and light and shadow and textures, things like that. The experience of living on the road has been nothing short of amazing. I think that it has surpassed our expectations. I didn't really know what to think, because essentially I'm living in a tiny little space that's smaller than the smallest apartment you've ever lived in with my wife. So there's not a lot of places you can go for if you just want to be by yourself.
Quiet time.
Right. There's no man cave and there's no other place to go. Ever since Linda and I met, we've enjoyed, like, traveling has been a huge part of our lives, and camping has been a huge part of our lives, and working together in small spaces actually has also been.
Well, that's actually a very good thing.
Yeah, so we have had plenty of experience, and a lot of my friends actually, when I told them that I was doing this, the very first thing they said is, I could never, ever spend that kind of time either in that smaller space with my spouse. I just couldn't. And I heard it equally from men and women. And it actually is the biggest deterrent in this kind of lifestyle. And we are very fortunate that we get on so well. And this lifestyle is so incredibly compatible for us.
But actually, when you talk about, you know, it's just such a small space. And I know we had this discussion the other night over dinner about you have nothing. There's no clutter. There's nothing. And I remember you putting up a picture on Facebook when you were packing up and you had your yard sales and everything. You had one bag. And most of that, a lot of that was your camera equipment.
Right.
I can't fathom how someone could live out of just one bag and so little clothing. But you made a very good comment the other night, and we're talking about that. You've only got a couple of clothes, bits and pieces of clothing, and that's all you need.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, when you declutter your space, your physical living space, you declutter your mind. There's actually nobody that I know that can tell me what they own. Because they have so many nooks and crannies that they keep everything in. And you accumulate so much stuff over the years, you know. I can tell you exactly what I own. I have a mental inventory of everything that I own, and it makes life so much simpler for me. And I would highly recommend it to anybody that, you know, the less stuff you have, the simpler your life becomes.
Oh, maybe I should look at doing that, because even going, I go for a weekend, it's a big suitcase that comes with me.
That's all I own, what you take on your weekend.
Probably. What is it, guys? Actually, something I wanted to ask you. In relation to, you gave out some really good tips about videography. Would that be the same kind of application for somebody starting off, that just practice in photography? If you were to give out, say, a couple of tips on how someone could even get into photography and start getting good at it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, technology these days enables everyone to immediately be a photographer and to some degree, because we've, you know, all our phones have very good cameras on them at this point. The thing that I notice with most people, and it's kind of of a well-known fact that because you've got this so accessible, you tend to just, you know, put your camera up, take a snap, and then you forget about it. Yeah. Or you may, and then you end up with hundreds of photographs that are essentially captured with absolutely no purpose. It's just that moment you were like, oh yeah, I'll get a shot of this, and you just shoot it, and you don't really think about it. So, you know, if you're interested in any kind of photography, it doesn't have anything to do with spending a lot of money on equipment, because okay. You can start off with a phone, a phone camera.
Okay.
You know, they are very good.
Yeah.
But I think that the old saying is the best camera is the one that you have. So if all you've got is a phone, then that is the best camera you have right there. Make the best of it. And just shoot with a purpose. Look at what you're shooting. Think about why you're shooting it and make it count. And then, you know, when you look back on your photographs, it'll be something that is important to you. And it won't just fall into this massive sea of mediocrity.
Yeah, which is the case now. I'm just thinking of my own phone. I have hundreds and hundreds of photographs.
Right.
And even over the last, you know, recent years away, taking photographs, because I liked the look of the thing. But I would never, I would never think the way you think when you're looking at something. I just think, that's a nice picture. I'll just take that. Looks really interesting. That building. Because I love architecture. I love history. Mm-hmm. But I'd never. Now, I think I should slow down, start looking at different ways. And what is the purpose of me taking this? Because
yeah.
I actually looked back at one photograph I took the night of a beautiful building, and it just doesn't come out. Now I've got a good camera on my phone, but the person on the other side of the camera, aka me, is not great at taking photographs. But
that's
something
the most important part.
Yeah, that's something I can look at. Tell me about the book before we go into wrap that you're working on at the moment.
Well, you know, this plays into what we're talking about, shooting with a purpose. You know, it doesn't matter how good or bad you are as a photographer. If there's no end means to the end, then, you know, it can disappear. So I wanted to record these first few months of our journey on the road, but I also wanted to do it to record my own kind of creativity and the things that the photographs that matter to me. I wanted to put them together in some kind of meaningful order. And so a book was the best choice for me. So, you know, it's very interesting to put a book together, because you have to really consider how photographs work together, and whittling down thousands of shots to, in this case, 50, really made me think about, you know, what was a good shot versus what wasn't. So I'm very pleased with the results.
Oh, so you've got the book, you've got all those photographs taken for that book?
Yeah.
It's
not published yet, but it will be within the next month or so. But it's the layout is done.
Okay, well, that's amazing. I didn't realize you had them all taken, and I imagine you're going to be taking an awful lot more. So just before we go into wrapping the show, the future, what's it hold for you?
I don't know. We're just going to keep going
fantastic.
The way we're going.
And
it's, you know, this lifestyle is all about freedom. And we will only make so many plans before we let the rest flow. And, you know, the best part of the first few months has been the things we haven't planned. And we intend to keep it that way.
Oh, that sounds amazing, Stephen. I have to say a big thank you so much for coming in this afternoon, because I know you're very busy. You have a lot to do when you're home for such a short space of time. Wish you the best of luck. I'm dying to see the book, and I'll keep looking at all the photographs as I always do on Facebook.
Thank you very much.
So just give out the contact details before we wrap. It's the email address is thelearningshow@dublincityfm.ie, Facebook.com/thelearningshow, and Twitter handle is @thelearningshow. Just watch out for the capital T, L and S. So I'd like to thank Mick Hanley for doing my sound and Heather McLeod for production. Tune in next week to learn more tips and techniques to improve your working and personal lives. I'm Laura Fitzsimons, and thank you for listening to The Learning Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM.